Last week we began a two-part study entitled, Who Killed Jesus? In the course of that study, we noted that there were five groups or individuals that were involved in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. The ones who were physically responsible for His death were the Roman soldiers. They were the ones who carried out the execution. They carried out the crucifixion and they did it to precision just as they had been taught. We find, however, that they could never have slain Jesus unless they had been given a command to do so. And that command was issued forth from a king who was referred to as Pontius Pilate, also referred to as the governor of the region of Judea. However, the reason Pontius Pilate did what he did is because the Jews, especially the Jewish leaders, brought Jesus to him saying that he had committed a crime worthy of death. And because they could not put a man to death under Roman authority, they had to have Pontius Pilate declare him guilty. So the Jews are responsible for the death of Jesus as well. But they had colluded with a man, had they not? They had coveted with one of Jesus' own disciples, a man by the name of Judas Iscariot, 30 pieces of silver, and he delivered him into their hand. Thus, Judas is on the list of those who assisted in the killing of Jesus. Lastly, we noted that Satan was there. Satan, the Bible says, entered into Judas. And that is when he did his dastardly deed and went and betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, all of these individuals are on that list of people who have slain and crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we want to continue that study because you see there are at least four other individuals or groups of individuals who are responsible in the death of Jesus Christ. Point number one, Adam and Eve. Before we move into that particular point, let's be reminded of that last statement we made. Satan was responsible for the death of Jesus. And we saw that last week. In numerous ways, he was responsible. But we could take Satan all the way back to the beginning, can't we? All the way back to the Garden of Eden, and we find that he is still there and he is partly responsible for what transpires at this point in time as well. God created Adam and Eve, and he created them perfect individuals. Now, what's unique about that is that they were created as grown human beings, weren't they? And as grown human beings, they had absolutely no sin whatsoever. God placed them in a beautiful garden, the Garden of Eden, in order to dress it and to keep it. He allowed them access to every tree within the garden except one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he warned them that if you eat of this tree, there will be consequences that will come. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. Satan tempted the woman, didn't he? And he did so by denying the very words that God had spoken. Can you imagine? We have God, we have Satan. God speaks and says this. Satan comes along and he denies everything that God told that woman. Notice the text. And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know, in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Folks, ye shall not surely die. God had said exactly the opposite, hadn't he? In the day that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. But you see, the enticement was there, wasn't it? And see, Satan is a powerful, powerful individual, isn't he? He's always around. He's always about us. He's always thinking about us. He's always trying to do everything he can do to tempt us. And his enticements are pretty good too, aren't they? But here's the point. Satan cannot force anyone to sin. Yes, he can be in our lives. Yes, he can entice us. Yes, he can be extremely powerful. But there is not one person that he can force to sin. And because of that, Adam and Eve now become culpable in the death of Jesus Christ. For you see, they had a choice to make. And we know what Eve's choice was, wasn't it? And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Satan couldn't force that. It was a choice that that couple had made. Oh yes, Satan influenced. And Satan was around and he did everything to deny anything that God had said. And he made the enticement look good, but it was Adam and Eve that yielded to the enticement. Sin had now entered into the world. Isn't that something? A pristine world. No sin. Two human beings living in that world, no sin. And now all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, one bite of a piece of fruit, and now sin has entered into the world, folks. The sentence against sin is death. Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Isn't that exactly what God had told that couple? The day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Now note this. Someone had to die. And we're talking about a bloody, violent, physical death. That's the sentence against sin. Someone had to die. It could have been the sinner. Couldn't it? In fact, it should have been the sinner. And yet, on this particular occasion, they didn't die on that day, did they? I find it interesting that individuals have searched for all kinds of reasons as to why they didn't die that day, because God said, that day you'll die. But they didn't. The answer's simple, folks. You see, there was a second means of preserving those individuals, and that's for a substitute to be rendered on their behalf. Now, two things about the substitute. It had to be a comparable victim. In other words, it couldn't be an animal, couldn't be a plant, couldn't be grain or anything of that nature offered. It had to be a comparable victim who's offered. It had to be a human for a human. But notice the sacrifice also had to be perfect. No flaws, no blemishes, no disease, no sickness, no stains from sin whatsoever. A perfect human being was the only other alternative. Folks, had Adam and Eve never, ever sinned, guess what? Jesus would have never died on the cross of Calvary. Isn't that something? You see, it was through them that sin entered into the world. Thus, had they not sinned, if that couple had continued in that pristine condition, had man never transgressed the will of God, Jesus would never have died. Now, so far, in our list of individuals who were involved in the death of Jesus, we really haven't been that shocked, have we? And every one of us, if we started listing those involved in the death of Jesus, many of these people would have come to mind, but the next one shocks us, doesn't it? God was partly responsible for the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. But I thought God is holy. And I thought God would never do anything that is evil. So Vic, how in the world can you make God responsible for the death of Jesus Christ? Let's think about a few things. Number one, God knew man would eventually commit sin. The second thing that He knew is what the sentence is for sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. God knew that. God was the one who had decreed that. But God loved man dearly, folks. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? God speaks the word, and things can come into existence. He takes a little dust, forms man out of the dust of the ground, breathes into his nostrils the breath of life, and all of a sudden there's a living soul, and yet He loves that man deeply. You and I can't fathom the depth of love that God has for His creation. Can't comprehend it. We don't love others the way God loves those individuals. There's some people, in fact, that we despise and almost hate, don't we? Not God. He loves His creation. And even when Adam had sinned, even when Eve was in sin, guess what? God knew, I'll still love those individuals. And notice this point. God did not want Satan to win the ultimate victory over him. If God created man, man sins, man's put to death, what else is left? Satan has won, has he not? When God created man, He knew that was a possibility. But what He did was He devised a plan whereby that could not happen before the foundation of the world. He devised a plan so that man could be saved if he transgressed the will of God. You remember when Peter was talking to those Jews on Pentecost? Acts 2, verse 23, he told them that you have taken Jesus and with wicked hands have crucified Him and slain Him. Here's how he begins that verse. Him, that's Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Go home this afternoon. Do some study on the terms determinate counsel and foreknowledge. God foreknew that Jesus would die on Calvary. He foreknew that. Notice that Peter says it was by His what? Determinate counsel that it came to pass. That little word determinate means this: by His appointment, by His decree, by the fact that He ordained it. Think about that. Peter told those Jews, God foreknew this and He ordained it to come to pass. He appointed it to come to pass. He decreed that it was going to come to pass. Folks, God is responsible for His Son's death. There's two other verses we could talk about, Ephesians 3:10-11, to the intent
that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. According to, listen to what he says, the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, the church is the eternal purpose of God. You and I compose the church. You and I compose the eternal purpose of God. Something that was always in the mind of God. But notice he says he did it through Jesus Christ. Who are we? We are the blood-bought people of God. Whose blood? The blood of Jesus. The reason we're a part of the church is because Jesus shed His blood on our behalf. And that church was ordained eternally in the mind of God. The church will come to pass. The church will be built. There's no doubt about that. And it was always in His mind, but He did it through the death of Jesus Christ. This is what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations, which ye received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now listen to verse 20. Who verily was ordained before the foundation of the world. Folks, before God even created the world, He had in His mind that my Son will die for the sins of humanity. Because Jesus' death was planned long before the world ever came into being, is the reason that we can read about prophecies of the death of Jesus. Folks, the death of Jesus was not accidental. The death of Jesus was not just an uprising on the part of the Jews against some religious fanatic that they despised. It was the very plan of God being executed and being worked. And the prophets prophesied of it, did they not? David, in Psalm 22, verse 16, tells us that Jesus would be pierced, crucified. Isaiah, in Isaiah 53, talks about the suffering servant of God and goes into great detail about the death of our Lord on that occasion. The very fact that He would be crucified between criminals and that He would be buried with the rich. How in the world did Isaiah know those kind of things? It's because they had already been planned. And now God was revealing them to that prophet through the Spirit. I find it interesting that months before Jesus was ever crucified, He warned His disciples that this was going to come to pass. The Son of Man is going to the city of Jerusalem. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. The chief priests and the religious leaders, they are going to take me and they're going to crucify me. Jesus knew it long before it happened. Why? Because God sent Him for that very purpose, didn't He? You see, I find it interesting that the Bible tells us that God sent His Son into the world and God gave His Son for us. So that shows me that this is a conscious decision on the part of God. Listen to some passages. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave Him to us. God knew exactly why Jesus was born of a virgin in that little town called Bethlehem. God knew He would grow up and ultimately crucified for the sins of man. He sent Him for that very purpose. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. John 3, verse 17. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God knew exactly what He was doing. Some 2,000 years ago, when Jesus came to this earth, guess what? He was executing the plan that had been in the mind of God eternally. God is responsible for the death of Jesus Christ. We'll come back to it more in a little bit. But notice this. Jesus is also responsible for His death. Yes, God sent His Son into the world to die, didn't He? But guess what? God did not force Him to go through the act. He gave Jesus the power and the ability to make that particular decision. In fact, Jesus even said that, didn't He? We turn to John 10, verse 18. Listen to what He says. No man taketh it from Me, talking about His life, but I lay it down of Myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Listen to Him. This commandment have I received of My Father. When Jesus came to this earth, He was just like you and I. He had the ability to choose, didn't He? And if He didn't want to die upon the cross of Calvary, guess what? He didn't have to. He could have rebelled. He could have gone against the command of God. He could have done exactly what He wanted. But you see, Jesus made a conscious decision, didn't He? I find it interesting when Jesus was in the garden, and He was praying there, and finally the mob comes. Peter and the other disciples rise up, and they're ready to fight, aren't they? In fact, Peter draws one of the swords that they possessed, and he cut off the servant of the high priest's ear, a man by the name of Malchus. Folks, they're ready to fight. If they fought long enough, surely they could get the Lord out of the way. Surely He could have escaped. Surely this didn't have to transpire. Remember what the Lord said to Peter? We only remember usually the first half. He told him to put up thy sword into the sheath. But you see, that's not all He said. Listen. Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which My Father hath given Me, shall I not drink it? Wow. It's unbelievable, isn't it? You see, He's making a conscious decision. He could have allowed those men to fight. He could have allowed those men to do whatever they wanted to. He could have run for His life. And right there, Jesus makes the decision, oh no, it's time for Me to drink the cup that My Father has given Me. I'm going to yield to the will of My Father. In fact, He had already prayed that, hadn't He? Three times in the garden. Not My will, Father, but Thine be done. Our Lord chose to die. Scripture over and over and over and over tells us that Jesus gave His life for us. Just look at a few passages. And to give His life a ransom for many. Matthew 20, verse 28. Who gave Himself for our sins, Galatians 1:4, and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, notice, as a sweet-smelling savor, Ephesians 5:2. We turn a little bit further. The Bible says this, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Titus 2:14, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity. Five passages of Scripture, and that's not all of them. Folks, it was Jesus who made the decision, I will die for lost humanity. He was responsible, at least partly so, for His own death, was He not? He gave Himself for us. Lastly, all sinners are responsible. The Bible tells us that Adam and Eve brought sin into the world. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Sadly, there's not a human being today who, if they live long enough and reach that age of knowledge and accountability, that they have the power and the ability to withstand the temptations of sin and iniquity. The Bible tells us over and over that everyone is sinned. Paul says, what then? Are we Jews better than they Gentiles? No, in no wise. For we have before concluded, both Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. Verse 10, there is none righteous. There is none that doeth good. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My friend, if you are a sinner, guess what? You're responsible for the death of Jesus. Because you see, for any person who has committed sin to live, Jesus had to die. Oh yes. You can die for your own sins if you so desire, can't you? And ultimately, you will find your place in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. If that's your choice, that's your choice. But guess what? Just because you die for your sins does not mean those sins have been forgiven. You've only paid the penalty for sin. Jesus paid the penalty for sin in order for us to be able to live, folks. All sinners are responsible for Jesus' death. Now, I want you to go a little bit further than that. As I was thinking about this point, I almost introduced the whole lesson this morning with this statement. Have you ever murdered anyone? Everybody in here would say, oh no, I've never murdered anybody. I'm sure there's some wives wanting to murder her husbands, but they've never done it. But have you ever murdered anyone? Oh yes, I have. Because of my sins, I am responsible for the death of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's amazing, isn't it? We have seen several in this lesson who are responsible for the death of Jesus. Adam and Eve brought sin into the world. God, who before the foundation of the world made provisions for the salvation of mankind, but those provisions involved the death of His Son. He would have to send Him and give Him for lost humanity. We've seen Jesus responsible for His own death. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. And we've seen that all sinners are responsible. As we close the lesson, I want you to think about this. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Did you hear that? Without shedding of blood, that violent physical death, there is no remission of sins. For any person who has committed sin to live, Jesus had to die. Folks, I'm responsible for His death. I am responsible for His death. I am responsible. Sad, isn't it? Deity planned the death of Jesus. But the reason that it was done is because of His deep love for humanity. Not just humanity, but fallen humanity. Sinful humanity. Individuals who had now become His enemies. I don't know about you. That's hard to comprehend, isn't it? But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Folks, it's just too deep to fully comprehend, isn't it? We know of individuals who on the field of battle have cast themselves on grenades in order to save a regiment of soldiers that they were attached to. And we look at that and we say, wow, what a sacrifice, what a brave act. In other words, the individual knew he was going to die. He knew that he was giving his life, but he did it for a purpose, didn't he? Because he cared enough for his soldiers. You see, God loved us so much that he was willing to give Jesus to die for all of us. I may not comprehend it fully, but it ought to at least spark deep within me a love for God. If God can love me that much, the least I can do is love him in return, isn't it? It amazes me that individuals reject that love, doesn't it you? Does me. You see, that love deep within me ought to be enough to propel me to at least obey the Heavenly Father and take advantages of the blessings that are found in our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, that's where blessings are found. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7. Folks, we are here today as saved individuals because of what God and Jesus were willing to do on our behalf. They're the only innocent ones in the whole bunch, aren't they? They're the only ones who acted and operated out of love instead of hate and vengeance. We need to be thankful for that. And we need to change our lives radically to serve him the best we can serve him until our Lord comes again. Are you here today and never taken advantage of the death of Jesus? We hope that you will. The steps are simple. How do you get into Christ? Hear the word. Believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Repent of sins. Confess the name of Jesus. And then be immersed into Christ. Romans 6:3 and 4. Galatians 3:27. And come up out of that grave, having all sins forgiven, a new creature in Jesus. And every spiritual blessing at that point is yours. Dear Christian, do you live your life like you love God? It's a question all of us need to answer. Do I really live my life like I love God? If you don't, maybe you need to repent of that and ask God to forgive you. If you need to respond to the invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?